You are listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls deal with a blue pill world. I'm your host, John Dennison, and together we'll explore how to take an inner approach to your outer affairs so you can build a better life and a better world to live it in.
Hello, my friend. John here. I greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. And it is within this love and this light that I come to you today. We will be speaking today about keeping a lid on the pressure cooker that's happening in the world we're in. Before I go into it in any detail, I would like you to remember that you should test everything that I tell you with your intuition and decide whether it serves you. And if it doesn't, just leave it aside. For I only want you to take into your consciousness that which resonates with you. It strikes a nerve deep within your soul, enough to want to explore whether it should be part of how you have created yourself and will continue to create yourself to deal with this life that you're now going through. Now back to our topic for today, which is the pressure cooker. Can you feel it? Can you feel that the pressure just keep building and building and building? I mean, we hear people talk about the energies and how it's making them tired and giving them headaches, but they don't talk about how it's just increasing the pressure slowly but surely upon us all. Back when I was a young lad, my parents had a friend who talked to me. He had several heart attacks, and he talked to me about pressure. And he talked about the fact that we can deal with the stresses of a situation in the moment, but then he takes his thumb and start pressing on my chest with a very light pressure, and just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And he's talked about how when this pressure of stress and the demands of life, and now we're talking about other things that are affecting us besides just those normal stressors, they keep building up until all of a sudden we realize that we're under this tremendous strain that we didn't even know we had going on. Because our ability to adapt to the environments we're in is really, really wonderful. That's how humans have survived so long over the millennia. But the thing about the pressure is how we each are going to have to deal with this, being at this pressure cooker. Now, I know you can feel the energies. You certainly know how they have erupted in our society. And here in the United States, a couple of years ago, after the lockdowns of the COVID crisis hit, we saw large numbers of young people coming out on the Black Lives Matter demonstrations, and in some cases riots, mostly acting out on this buildup of energy within them that they couldn't release anywhere within their lives. And they were isolated, and we're all isolated to one extent or another now. And the pressures just keep building. And you can see what's happening as a result of that. The conflicts in our world are just getting worse and worse and worse. It's like people look like they hate each other. Now, I don't think that's the case in most instances, but I think that the tech wizards and the ones who have come forward to run their empires have decided that it is in their interests, at least, to keep us in these silos where they feed us this information that keeps getting us more and more exacerbated and angry and in fear. And they work us up with all of these energies until we're in a rage, until all of a sudden some people feel the need to act them out. They can't control what's going on within them. Now, we know there are all sorts of different mental illnesses. But I'm not talking about a mental illness. Those with mental issues having greater difficulty dealing with these injuries, these energies, is to be expected. But unfortunately, there's no way for us to identify them very easily other than the observations of those who live with them in daily life. But our society really is not set up to intervene in such situations. And frankly, we don't quite know how to. So when you see someone who is obviously going in a direction that is not very socialized of them, or we'll call them antisocial, where they are isolated and they are ostracized and they start building up these resentments. Perhaps they were bullied or they just didn't get along with other people and they had their own way of doing things and they were just different. And that those differences kept creating conflicts, which kept inflicting upon them more and more aggravation and harm from the people in their environment until they exploded. And we're seeing some of this going on in our society, where periodically we see these individuals act out upon the energies that are affecting them. And they end up going and doing horrible things, like the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that happened this week, and the one at the supermarket in Buffalo last week. We shake our heads, wondering, well, what's going on? Why are people acting this way? But we never talk about the fact of how we have created our society, where we are actually amplifying the impact of these energies upon us and setting us against each other in the way that we're interacting, the way the social media keeps us in different silos so that when we do interact, it's one extreme going against the other. And this is an extremely hard situation to overcome because there's no conversation, no communication. Communication is one of those ways of equalizing the pressure, that when something's bothering you, it helps to talk it out, to have somebody to be able to talk to be able to get it out of your system. But a lot of these people don't. And many of us don't. So we're left to have all these thoughts and feelings building up inside of us, and we don't know what to do with them. And fortunately or unfortunately, people are ready to explode. And I say the fortunate part is not because of the impact of what they do. It is the fact that it is because of the increasing pressures that people are beginning to recognize these situations within themselves and within their society, drawing attention to it to a point where the conversations need to be had and will continue to be had as to what to do about it. But unfortunately, we can't do anything at the moment, because the sides are so entrenched in the different views that they have that they'd rather fight than switch. And I generally tend to avoid taking sides in those kind of battles, political, social, religious, whatever, because as I've said for a long time, when you add energy to a conflict, your attention, your effort, whether it's to one side or the other, that will tend to exacerbate the conflict, to make it worse between the parties that are fighting, as well as to drag you into all the turmoil and make it so that their problem, their battle, their war becomes yours. But unfortunately, some people need to get in there. They're called or feel called to tell others their side of things, to get it off their system, because they need this communication. Some of you may know I practiced law for about 45 years or so. And one of the things that I saw over and over and over again is with when the parties began quit talking to each other, that's when the fighting started. And we've set a situation up where we've drawn our battle lines and we've separated the sides so that they don't fight, supposedly. But actually, what's happening is they are actually looking for ways to get out these energies, and they're looking for somebody to get them out against. I don't know if you've ever been on Twitter and said the wrong thing to the wrong person or in response to the wrong post at times, but you can count on getting a whole spew of vitriol coming at you in one form or another for saying an unpopular opinion that doesn't match with the views of the people that follow whoever you were commenting on. And to the extent that it gets seen by the people on the opposite side, you may be setting them off as well. So you could find yourself in the middle of a great battle where both sides are turning their guns on you. And this is part of the problem of trying to walk the middle path, is that we become targets when we seek to intervene in the conflicts and stop the fighting between people. Now, I don't necessarily believe that we should be doing that, because my experience over the years has been that the energies of conflict will continue to build. The mental cost, the emotional toll, the physical and financial and all the other costs and relationship costs that are poured into a conflict are all, how would you say, they interact upon each other to keep building it up and building it up and making it so that you've been wronged and you want to get something right done, get justice. Or you think somebody is doing an injustice to you by coming after you for something, and so you fight. And this is the idea of conflict. The legal arena is a place where this legalized conflict can be supposedly worked out, where the parties can get in and get rid of some of these energies and let a third party, supposedly independent third party that's unbiased, hear the information and make a decision for you since you are unable to do so. That's basically the legal process. So and that's in our world right now. We have the same thing, is that people aren't able to communicate. For some reason, the communications are twisted so that even when we do talk to the people, it doesn't come out right. It's like we're speaking Greek to each other and nobody understands Greek. And it's a terrible situation to be within, because the only thing it leaves us without being able to find a way to reach some sort of understanding with another person or work toward an understanding is to fight with them. You either have to turn around and walk away, or you have to fight. Pick up the gauntlet and engage in whatever nature of conflict, whether it's an argument, whether it's fisticuffs, whether it's war. It's a continuing escalation because these energies of conflict have not been dissipated. And unless those energies can be dissipated, typically by the cost of the conflict getting so high that they realize that it is not in their best interest to keep going and assuming the risks and costs involved with the conflict, then they will look for other ways to resolve it, whether that is to just take the case to trial and get it done with, or fight it out in the streets, or whatever it is. They will take it to that point of maximum conflict because they have not been able to find a way to dissipate those energies and work around them in terms of being able to achieve a result that works for them and hopefully also for the other side as well. So people are acting out. Now, I've talked about these energies before, that these are the energies of the that are coming as we are moving into the proton belt. And this is causing us to vibrate faster. Our bodies are receiving these large amounts of cosmic energies that are causing everything in our world and in us to vibrate a little faster. This is having the effect of trying to move us into what they call the fifth dimension or fourth density consciousness, but which I would like to just refer to as an increasing awareness, because as we raise our vibrations to new levels of consciousness, we are able to see other possibilities and have other paths to resolving the issues that face us. And this is what I see happening as in terms of this ascension that has been discussed over and over again and is referred to by so many people. And they think it's going to come with some big flash of light, and maybe it will.
Or maybe the sun just can't handle all the new energy that's coming in. It's just going to explode. We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is we have to deal with the situation that we're in. Because God, or the universe, or whatever you're calling this, is turning up the heat. And it's causing the pressure to build and build and build. We are in a pressure cooker. And it is just like the food you put into a pressure cooker to be cooked more quickly and more tenderly and to be more savory by way of blending all the ingredients together. This is in effect what is supposed to be happening to us, that as these pressures build and we are forced to find new ways to relate to each other, that we're going to have to release some of the old ways that stand in the way of us doing that. We have to start setting aside things like our attachments to our fears and desires, because those are conditions within our minds that trigger responses in our bodies, hormonal structures, and within our actions that we and how we treat other people, that can be used to set us in conflict if we go too far with them. And unfortunately, as people are acting out, they're going too far just about everywhere we turn. Some of them even to the extreme of killing other people. And this is a tremendous tragedy. As I've said many times before, and to quote an old TV show with Kwai Chang Kane, once said, the taking of a life does no one honor. If you follow me on Twitter, you would know that I use this quite a bit. Every time I see what the hard things that people are doing to each other, it doesn't raise us up as individuals to be fighting to a point where we are interfering with another's right to live and to gather their own experiences of life, and vice versa, and having to resist their efforts against us. So these pressures are sort of like the pressures that happen in the earth when the old dinosaur remains and these carbon deposits of coal are pushed over time and put under this pressure, and they turn into diamonds. And this could take a million years of this intense pressure. Well, this is what is trying to happen to us. It's trying to turn us into diamonds. And this diamond, it could be, think of it as the crystalline body or the lighter rainbow bodies. There are a lot of different ways of referring to this. But this is a condition that is typically sought by the yogis and masters when they are pursuing their own personal advancement and journeys back to source, to pierce the veil of the illusion of this Maya or matrix that we live in, so they try to build up and release this rainbow body that they have. And the rainbow body, if you read in any old Tibetan or Taoist texts, you'll see a lot of discussion of that. You'll see more discussions these days of the crystalline or light bodies. But no matter how it's described, it's the process of taking the essence of what we are and compacting it into a different form that makes it able to better process higher amounts of energy that can come in and enable us to, through that energy, to then see and interact with reality in a different way. Whatever reality is that we can perceive from that place that we're at. And the reality that we perceive will depend upon where we're looking at it from, the point of view, and how far we have developed. So many people that are in the world today will be totally unconcerned with the conflicts that are going on. They'll just turn it all off and they'll go about their lives. And those that are going about their lives in a way of being loving and serving others will find themselves
attracting and being attracted to other people that are also living the same way. But sometimes our life plans, as determined by our souls, require us to be in the middle of all that conflict, require us to be in the pressure cooker, to require us to be in the battle zone where everybody hates each other and can't get along, and your life is in jeopardy everywhere you turn in one form or another. Because if you look at what's going on in our world right now, we have many, many forces that are trying to force change upon our world. As the institutions of the old ways start to crumble and people begin to see through the facade of the forms of government that we've had, and that they don't serve the people, instead they serve a moneyed and powerful elite, that their hold of those old institutions over them no longer holds sway. So all of these different interests in terms of fighting against that, or fighting against what they consider as not conducive to the lives that they want, so they go out and they're fighting to try to push their own views of how things should be. But unfortunately, what happens most of the time is they're bringing forth their own egoic conditions that are being used to distort the effort and impose in such a way that it causes them to try to impose their will upon others. And this is something that is going to be hard for them to let go of, because the condition of fighting to get what you want and fighting others to keep them from imposing what they want upon us has been ingrained in humanity for forever. It's this dog-eat-dog world that we've been in that we're all trying to overcome or move beyond. Not that the world is necessarily good or bad as a result of that, but that those methods just aren't going to take us into the higher dimensions that we want to experience. And it's certainly not going to bring us any closer to understanding or connecting with the source of life within us. So we're in this pressure cooker. We're scalded frogs. You know, if you know the story of the scalded frogs, you can put a frog in hot, if you put a drop a frog into boiling water, it's going to try to jump right up because the heat is so great, it just burns it and wants to get out of there immediately. But when you put it in and raise the temperature gradually, and you start it at room temperature and just build it up slowly, the frog will stay there and stay there and won't jump out until it's cooked alive. Well, this is what's happening to us. We're being cooked alive. And we're trying to be within this pressure cooker where the temperature is continuing to go up and up and up, and that water is getting hotter and hotter, and the pressure is building to try to make us into something else. But sometimes we're not focused upon the path as well, and we still have things within us that react to the old conditions that cause us to act out, that cause us to interact with people in less than loving ways. And these are the things that we as awakening souls have to look at in ourselves to realize that these so-called inner conditions or impurities that have made us susceptible to the human traits of will and desire may not be conducive to carrying us forward into the fifth dimensional energies that we want to be part of. Excuse me if you hear a little background noise here. I have some lawn work going on in my neighbor's house next door, and the guy with the leaf blowers outside. So if you happen to hear it drowning me out, you'll understand why. Okay, as I continue on, though, we'll see. We're talking about us being scalded frogs. Ostensibly, we are trying to create a world and a life for ourselves of peace and prosperity. And this is supposed to last 1,000 years, as promised to us in many spiritual teachings that they refer to as the Golden Age. And some people may want to call it the Age of Aquarius or the Fifth Dimension or however they want to talk about it. It's the supposed result of this pressure cooker is going to be to cook all of these negative characteristics out of us and only leave us with the positive ones that allow us to build a future of peace and prosperity where everybody loves each other. And that's wonderful. That's where we're all trying to get to. But unfortunately, that pressure cooker is building up so high that the lid is ready to explode, to blow the lid off of a pressure cooker. Now, I don't know if you ever made espresso. I had one of these old-time metal coffee pots one time that, for some reason, I must not have put it together correctly, because as it was cooking and the water started to boil, the lid exploded and the coffee went all over the kitchen, on the ceiling, all over the walls, the cabinets, the floors, everywhere. And that's what is at risk in our world, is that lid off the pressure cooker is threatening that it's not secured tightly enough within our own ability to keep it blow at any time, whether it's our individual pressure cookers or the bigger pressure cooker of our society. It's one of those situations that it's getting to a point that there's risk involved with where we're going, because people are acting out in such great ways, and governments are acting out through wars and famine and imposing pandemics and lockdowns and mandates and all the other things that they're doing to try to deal with the situation upon the people. And the people are getting to a point that they're pushing back, that the pressures are causing them those actions that they're taking are the lid on the pressure cooker that's not holding and it's getting ready to explode. Well, if you've ever used a pressure cooker, you know, I have no idea what it's called, but there's that little silver thing at the valve at the top that sits over the hole that allows the pressure to be released when it gets too great within the pressure cooker. Well, that release valve allows the pressure within to get high enough to cook everything, but not high enough to explode. Because if that were clogged up, the whole thing's going to blow up sooner or later, because you can't keep putting pressure into a closed container without having it eventually take its toll upon the whatever is holding that container closed, the lid, so to speak. Well, you are an awakening soul. That's why you're listening to this. We're trying to figure out how to better live in this world that we're going on, that's going through such trauma. But you're seeing your life and you're seeing the world a little differently. Rather than getting so caught up in all of it, you're starting to look at it and see it from a different perspective and say, well, maybe there's a purpose to all this. And maybe I can use this situation to grow myself and maybe even to help others grow a little bit as well. So you, as an awakening soul, you have a contribution that you are making, but you are effectively part of the release valve of these pressures that are happening in our world. You have awakened at a particular time and space in history that is very unique, where you have an opportunity to either be part of the problem and escalate the tensions until things do explode, or to become a place that the energies can be released, either generally through service of others, through your contributions that you do, and most importantly, the way that you are. Because you first must release these pressures within you before you can be hold a space for love and light and peace for everyone else. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be able to go out and give other people peace or love or make them stop fighting. But on a metaphysical scale, on an energetic scale, you and all the rest of us that are awakening souls, we serve a purpose in the grand scheme to be able to help people to not continue on with their self-destructive ways. Now, you
in order to be an effective safety valve on the pressure cooker, need to make sure that those energies don't take you down with them, that they don't cause you to explode. Because if they do, you're useless. Now, maybe you don't feel that you have any sort of a role to play in the world. But just the sheer fact that you're here and you're beginning to see things a different way means that the energies are coming into you and acting upon you in different ways and are passing through you out into the world. But as they do, they're going to vibrate within you and cause the distortions in you, the impurities, so to speak, to vibrate, that may cause you to want to be dragged into the fights of others, or may cause you to be so focused upon your own needs and your own situation that you have nothing left to give to anyone else. And that's okay. What you have to do first is to take care of you, to make sure that you are a worthy vessel for this light that is coming in, and that you, as simply by being you, will help to transmute these energies so that they have less of an effect upon the world around you. Not for your benefit, but the benefit of the collective consciousness that is spiraling out of control right now, and not in a good way, because it is allowing these energies to exacerbate all the negative situations within us to the point that we're all ready to explode. So our first job as awakening souls is to deal with us and to deal with the energies so that the energies can flow through us without causing these reverberations in us and in our lives, so that we can be at peace, which is what I was talking about in the last show earlier this week, where I was talking about being at peace and beginning to address your own peace by being aware of the inner state of your mind and how the outer affairs influence that state. And that's just one of a very small set of practices or perspectives that will help you move through these situations in a better way, with more peace and direction and love. Well, I know you're trying to do the best you can and that you see things the way that you do see them now, but you may not realize that what you believe isn't necessarily true. And what you call your truth may just be something other false image that your ego is holding on to keep you locked to this world, to lock to those energies of conflict that are giving you something to fight over with other people. And that's your job, is to recognize these things within you. That's all the process of knowing yourself that I speak so much about, that is essential for a person who is seeking the light, whether it is to exit this world and go into the rainbow body and achieve a state of nirvana, or whether it is simply just to live a better life in the world now and add whatever contribution you're here to make. It's not important as to what you're doing with it so much as that you recognize it and take responsibility for dealing with what you find in yourself. So, humanity needs to move beyond all these characteristics that are keeping us in conflict. The wonders of modern society. Technology has allowed us to free ourselves up from the little details like cutting the grass and being able to have specialized people that come in just to do that and keep our yards clear. And unfortunately, I always seem to pick a day to record when they're out here doing their work. I apologize for any inconvenience or the noise in the background or me losing my train of thought. But as I continue on, we need to move beyond the fear and conflict. Our desires are running away. They're forcing us to fight with other people to get what we want. And all of these things within us that keep us locked in this cauldron, within this pressure cooker, are things that we have to resolve within ourselves. Not so much so that we can go off and make other people change, but to set an example.
Because not only are we conduits for the energy that allow us to transmute some of these excess energies in the world, but that we also set examples for how other people may want to live themselves. Because unfortunately, even though Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and we were trying to teach people how to love, we did a piss poor job of it, because we never got people beyond the point of fighting or getting those who were tending toward the aggregation of money and power to impose their wills upon other people. That we've never been able to deal with that or overcome that. It was left for once each soul in its own way to try to turn toward its God, to make ourselves worthy vehicles to go to heaven, as the Christianity puts it. But unfortunately, we failed. And humanity hasn't learned those lessons. And we're paying the price for that now. Now, many people have. And they do live with love in their heart and charity toward their fellow men and serving others that need help. And these positive characteristics within us that make us worthy of the type of relationships and world that we want to live in are exemplary and are the things that we're trying to work toward for the fifth dimensional world that we want to create. So it's really nothing different that we're trying to create now than we were trying to create then. It's just that we're in a different time, a different messaging, and a different state of urgency for the world, because technology and communications and jet travel and all the rest of that has reduced the world to a small place now where everybody can interact with everybody else. And all the things we use to keep each other apart are now coming to the surface, and they are being used to destroy us if we allow them to. Now, these conditions are not necessarily good or bad, but they do come with the denser or heavier energies. We call these negative energies only because they tend to bring down those that they are addressed against. That they don't raise other people up, they don't expand their consciousness, they tend only to benefit the person who is wielding those energies for their own benefit, or the benefit of their tribes, or their countries, or however they want to look at it. So that there are winners and that there are losers. And unfortunately, the side of those who love and respect others have often been on the losing side over the years, because their way is not the way of power, not the way of least power in the world as we know it. They have to draw upon other power from God. And that power is harder to manifest, more effective, but more difficult to manifest, because it needs to be stepped down into thoughts and actions that will make sense, that other people will buy into. And when they buy into it, to let go of the old conditions within them. So it is these so-called negative energies, the energies of conflict, the energies of runaway desire and fear and control and the loss of self-control and all the ways we do harm to ourselves. These are all the negative energies that cause these, and the negative conditions within us that allow these to come forward are the things that we are looking to change, both within ourselves and within our societies. Yet, we have to allow others the free will to do it for themselves, because that's the first rule of manifestation, is that free will goes with consciousness. Otherwise, what good is consciousness if you can't use it to set your own path back to your creator? Well, unfortunately, some people are using that consciousness to their own self-aggrandizement and to the detriment of other people in the world. And it's this continual effort of educating and illuminating and lifting up them and the energies around them in hopes that they will wake up one day and
transform themselves. I mean, that's the hope for everything, that every heart in the world will awaken and magically lift up all simultaneously. Like in the remake of the Day the Earth Stood Still, where they say, when humanity gets to the precipice, they'll change. Well, we're at the precipice and people aren't changing. We're hoping they're going to change, but they're not yet. And that's what's happening here is that they are threatening to drag us all into a dystopia of violence and oppression and fear and control, where the freedoms that we've known and the generations before us have known go out the window as they think that they can't build a better society, at least one that will better serve their interests at the expense of those who see things another way. Now, you are here at this time, in this space within history, to both witness all of this that's going on and to experience all the impact upon you of being within this situation, of being bombarded by these energies and feeling the turmoil that is happening within you and in your life. And I would bet if you're like most people right now, there are areas of your life that are causing you great distress, or could if you put a lot of attention upon them. Things that threaten your future, things that threaten your well-being or that of your family, or that something may have happened, like an illness, or God forbid, an assault by a shooter that has interfered with your ability to live your life and has forced you down this path of pain and darkness that you have to find your way out of. But we're all here to participate in the expansion of consciousness. But the consciousness that we must first expand is our own. So it is important, in fact, it is critical that we begin to recognize that it is our first responsibility to the world to take care of ourselves, to clear our own inner soil so that we can properly respond to the light that's coming through with love and with passing it on without distorting it, without allowing it to trigger things in us than loving. So what do you have to do to do your part? Well, we talked about peace. There, you must be at peace, content with your life and content with your world. And this is a hard state, to look at the world around us and the state it's in and to be content with the way it is. And it seems like a dichotomy, yet it's this dichotomy that we have to reconcile within us, because we're working on returning to a world of oneness. And only if we can be at peace with those aspects of ourselves and our aspects of our other aspects of humanity that are not doing us good, that we'll be able to have that peace in order to seek the oneness where we see them as part of us. It's important also to love and to treat others with loving kindness. I don't need to tell you how or what. You already have your own ideas of what to do it and what to do and when to do it. But the question is, when you feel the urge, why don't you act upon them? Or do you have ways of bringing them out more of that, or allowing yourself to be more loving, rather than so wrapped up in your own mind and your own beliefs and your own affairs that you have to defend them or assert them upon others? Another thing you need to become, or at least should you choose to continue down this path, is to allow all things to be as they're created, that there is a purpose for everything, that there is a season for everything, good, bad, and indifferent. And as hard as it is for us to stand by, we have to learn the difference between when to act upon it to change it and when to allow it just to be the way that it is, and trusting that it is going to serve to help someone else awaken or to create the experiences that will lead to them or others awakening. Because we don't know what's the purpose is behind a lot of what's going on. But we know that there is a divine plan which is unfolding to bring us all back toward our Creator. And we have to assume that everyone is on the same path. And they may take major detours or may decide to go a totally different way through the darkness to get there. But we have to give them free rein to do that, even while neutralizing the harm that they do to us and others along the way. Another thing is we need to have clearer communications. We've got to be able to speak to people and talk to them about what's on their minds, and so that they can release the energies that are being pent up inside them, and us as well. Because if we can't connect with other humans, and communication, talking to them, is the first basis for that, then our ability to move into this new future is going to be very limited, because we will be going in there as being more separate than what we've been. So our job is to try to remove the illusions of separation and overcome the barriers of communication that have somehow built up within us that keep us from so-called speaking our truths or hearing other people's truths without allowing it to set off some sort of a conflict or with them or within us. We need to get clear on our intentions, where we're going, how we're going to get there, what we're willing to accept into our lives, and what we won't. And then have the self-discipline to stay focused and walk the path that we choose for ourselves. I'm not going to tell you what your path should be, but when you see your path, then you must walk boldly down that path. You can't walk it with fear. You can't walk it with uncertainty. You must do it as if you are a master that's stepping boldly into the night, knowing that you are doing the right thing for you, even when it's not. And being willing to accept whatever consequences come from your choices. Because responsibility is part of what comes with being a sentient being. We are responsible for our own reality, and we must allow ourselves to accept the lives that are served up for us. Which means being less in conflict with our own lives. That goes back to that contentment stage that we talked about. To be able to live in your life and have less of a gap between what you've got and where you want it to be. Now, within each of us, there is a vision of what's coming down the road, or what we want to come down the road. We each hold a piece of that puzzle. And that puzzle is something that we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know that we have an idea of what we want it to be. For me, it's peace and plenty for all, where there love rules the skies, so to speak. That's the guiding principle that I have as to the world we're trying to create. I don't know what your vision is. I'd like to hear it. But you have to find it and hold it within you, because that's your compass. That is where you're setting your destination toward. And so it's important to keep getting quiet and going within and trying to understand what you're here for. What is the vision that your soul has brought into this life that wants you to help to create? And when you're inspired to do so, take some action to bring it into reality, to manifest it, act upon it. Don't allow yourself to say, well, maybe not now, or procrastinate, or say, maybe it's not such a good idea. Because understand, this comes from your inner voice. And if there's anything I've talked about over the years, it's getting quiet so that you can listen and then choose to follow your inner voice wherever it leads you. And believe me, it's going to lead you into catalyst after catalyst to challenge you and test your will and test your willingness to continue down this path. And that's part of your self-discipline that you're going to have to develop as you move along the path. It is not something that can be imposed upon you from the outside. It's not something I can tell you, okay, this is what you got to go do. It's a relationship between your mind and your soul that has to be crafted and developed into an art form until they begin to work together as one. This concept of wholeness, the integration of the mind and soul, is at the core of everything in the spiritual journey. Let me tell you a story that I've really not shared before. Back when I was in the inner circle of Buddha, he told us, he had a vision and told us about one, a great master who would be lotus born 12 years later. I was sent to go into the mountains to the lake where he was to be born. Lo and behold, 12 years later, a fully developed human, approximately 8 years old, appeared on this lotus in the middle of the lake. That person was Padmasambhava, that is also referred to as Guru Rinpoche. Padmasambhava was a Buddha of his own right. He was fully enlightened being, yet he needed to be trained and guided in the ways of the light. And that was my job. And I was privileged to have some small role to play in his awakening and development of the practices that I'm sharing with you here, just trying to couch them in terms that are more, how would you say, palatable to the modern mind. Padmasambhava was one of the fathers of Tibetan Buddhism, worked a lot with tantra, visualizations, and relics, and the power of relics, and the power of ritual. But even with all those things aside, there are some things that he instilled and that his followers continue to practice to this day, which is to practice positivity, to be as positive in your attitude, in your outlook, in your way of interacting with your world as you can, and to release and avoid negativity as best you can. Whether it means that you should be meditating or listening to mantras chanted on YouTube, or whether you have to go in out into the woods by yourself, and whatever it requires for you to be positive, to be a reservoir of positivity, to lift up the vibrations of your world around you. This was a core tenet of those on the path of the Padmasambhava was teaching, and his followers today, is that they do their best to avoid and move beyond all negativity. And this is really, really hard for all of us, because everywhere we turn, somebody wants to punch us in the face. And when you get punched in the face, it's pretty easy to get negative. Now, I don't mean necessarily physically punching you, but somebody coming and telling you something that pisses you off, or doing something that, you know, just totally is against everything you stand for. But the application of this is to avoid allowing those situations to trigger the negative vibrations within you, so that whatever that is that would be triggered, is that's the distortion that you're looking to clear. And it's really a matter of understanding and loving it as being part of you. It's not trying to rip it out of you, but just to recognize that it's there to make you a part of the way you are now. But the other primary aspect of what Padmasambhava was teaching was that the concept of wholeness, this integration I was talking about before, is called the concept of at-oneness, where the mind, where the person and the mind mentally escapes the Maya, the illusion of the matrix that we're in, and merges with the universal mind and becomes one with all that is. That is the objective of the spiritual path. It is accomplished by coming whole with your soul, that integration, because it is through that you begin to release your attachment to the world around you, and begin to turn your focus toward the source of your life, toward your God, toward seeking to know the light from which you came. Now, there are many ways to do that. Jesus taught us to love each other. To love each other as we love ourselves. Well, unfortunately, a lot of us don't love ourselves. So when we don't love ourselves, it's really hard for us to come off and love other people. And sometimes loving ourselves means getting lots of money and surrounding ourselves with material possessions. But somewhere along the line, those things will begin to lose their hold over you when it is love for love's sake that you love. That you love yourself simply because you are. And that you love others simply because they are. And you are both a manifestation of that at oneness. And the more you begin to recognize and realize your oneness with all that is, the more love that you'll be able to, that will be able to flow through you out into your world and from your world back into you, that you will recognize the reflection of your love coming back to you in so many different ways. Lao Tzu, the well-known teacher of Taoism, talked about that love a different way. He talked about being in harmony with the flow of life. That every energy flows in waves. That we have to find our place within that flow, where we are not in conflict with the flow, but we are living with it and moving along with it. That a great river of life. And it's when we get out of harmony or get out of phase with that flow of energy, of life, that causes us the disruption of our minds and of our bodies and illnesses. And so the loving of yourself can be accomplished by trying to harmonize with the things that are happening in your own life, because your own life is occurring to teach you how to make this trip. You didn't come into this life to live in a monastery. If you did, you'd be in a monastery now. Now, I certainly can take you aside and teach you the means of developing yourself within the monastic principles. But that is one of renunciation of the world. And without all those outer influences of the world, it's easier to focus on what's going on inside and be in harmony with life. But when we get out in the world and we have all these competing interests and agendas and egos that we have to deal with, that's when things get really tough. So you being in the world, you're on the same journey as those monks in the monastery, but you've chosen the harder road because you have all these distractions that you have to deal with. You can't just go renounce that world. You have to go transform yourself so that you can interact in a way that will bring more harmony both to you and to others, so that you will enhance the peace of others instead of stealing it. But most of all, if there's one thing I can tell you that will guide you along this path as you are learning to deal with the pressures that are coming down upon you and upon your world, is to realize that you do have a source of life. We'll call that source of life God. You can call it the universe or the Tao or anything you want. And there goes my phone. Excuse me. You can see my ring. You hear my ringtone, huh? For people I don't know. Anyway, we're getting back. The one point I want to leave you with before I leave today is one that came from the Ten Commandments. To love thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul. And when you seek the love of God, and when you seek to love thy God, everything else will tend to fall in line. And all these things within you that drag you into negativity, you'll see them, and you'll be tested to go into that negativity and then into those practices that reinforce that negativity. But if your intention is to be with your God, to return on your journey home to the source of all that is, and that God is giving you love by which to live your life and to call you home, it is only in the return of that love to God that you can become all that you are intending to be. So as you sit here, and before we leave today, I want you to concentrate on your heart and try to feel the love that your Creator has for you, and to reciprocate and send your love back to that Creator, and to renew your desire to know yourself, and in knowing yourself, to know your God, so that you may be all that you intended to be when you decided to come into this great experiment of humanity here in this three-dimensional reality we call Earth. I know you are going to be able to deal with the pressure cooker. I hope you are able to do so in a way that you evolve to a point where you can begin to release some of those pressures upon others. We don't want this world to explode. We want this world to become more than it is. And we want as many people to come along with us as possible, because they are all part of us. Now, not all of them are going to choose to come along. And some of them, those that choose not to, we're going to have to learn to deal with. We have to neutralize the harm that they do without impairing their free will. It's a very, very challenging task. But the source inside you will guide you on how to go about that if you get quiet and you listen to the whispers of the still, small voice that is trying to show you the way. I know you're going to get there, and I am so grateful that you are allowing me to make this journey with you and for the honor of serving you today. Please, go with love. I am John.
You have been listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls move in a better way through a blue pill world. For more information, visit us at peaceoptions.com to explore how you can find your peace through knowing yourself and following your inner voice. Or at missionlaunch.com, where we offer coaching and consulting to help you make the difference in your world.